Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The final 2 chapters of the Bible reveal the final destination for both God and man. Not heavenly mansions, but the living, built-up city composed of God and His redeemed people. Revelation 21, verse 22 says, "And I saw no temple in it, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb." This city, of course, is the New Jerusalem, the focus and subject of the final pages of the Bible. As such, we do well to focus on it ourselves, and here with us to do just that once again today is Ron Kinkus. Ron, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. It is a good idea that we focus on it. The Bible focuses on it. God focuses on it. God's eternal economy is focused on it. God's organic salvation is focused on it. And so who are we to have a focus other than that found in the Scriptures as the expression of what is in the mind of God? And we would also do well to exchange our religious notion of so-called heavenly mansions, based, by the way, on a misinterpretation of John 14, for the marvelous divine reality of the organic city, the New Jerusalem, the composition of God and man in Christ for God's glorious expression eternally.
Ron, we don't have much time today, but I do have an aside, a comment that just came to me. In one of the programs, it was uttered, I believe, by Witness Lee, that the New Jerusalem, as revealed in the Bible, this certainly is not man's thought. This is God's thought. The kind of concept that's typically held of heaven is something that we can think. That's why it's full of our kind of fanciful imaginations. But once we get a glimpse of what is on God's heart in this matter, it's in another realm, isn't it?
Altogether in another realm. The Bible is the divine revelation. The New Jerusalem is the consummation of the divine revelation, unveiling God's thought concerning His eternal dwelling place. We greatly err if we bring God's thought down to the level of our natural human concept and regard the New Jerusalem as synonymous with heaven. Since it comes down out of heaven, it is not heaven. It is the consummation of God's economy. It is an organic entity. It is a corporate person. It is both God and His redeemed, mingled and incorporated together as one. This is what we need to see. This is the crucial matter, not only in this particular message, but in this entire series devoted to the New Jerusalem.
We're going to take that as our introduction today. Let me just say a little bit as a backdrop for Witness Lee's first portion. We saw in Revelation 21:22 that we just read at the beginning of the program that God Himself is the temple in this city. In verse 3 of Revelation 21, it says that the entire city is the tabernacle of God with men. And a few programs past, we had a wonderful word unveiling that the entire New Jerusalem becomes the reality of the Old Testament Holy of Holies, seen both in the tabernacle and the temple. So the temple, the tabernacle, and the Holy of Holies all have their reality, their fulfillment, their consummation in the New Jerusalem. I think that that's important as we join Witness Lee for this first portion.
In the Bible, the temple is a big, big topic. In the New Jerusalem, there's no temple. Why? It says God, the Almighty, and the Lamb is the temple. I have to call your attention to chapter 21, 22. "And I saw no temple in it, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb." Number one, as we have seen, the whole city is the Holy of Holies. And number two, God and the Lamb are the temple. If you put these 2 points together, you could realize in a very good and positive sense that God and the Lamb are the city. And I have to add one more point to prove this to you. That is, this whole city is called the tabernacle. Now you must take in these three points. Number one, the whole city is what? The Holy of Holies. And number two, God himself in the Lamb is the temple. And number three, this whole city is the tabernacle. You put all these points together, you have to realize God is now this whole city. God is the whole city. This is one side. Then the other side, we have seen that this city is the living composition of all redeemed. Now, don't we say today the church is Christ? Don't we say the church is the composition of all the believers? Well, the principle is the same. The church is the composition, right, of all the believers, we say, on one side. Then on the other side, we say Christ is not only the head, but also the body. And we do have a term, the body of Christ. Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 12, it says Christ is also the body. Not only the head, but also the body. Why? Because the church is the enlargement of Christ. Christ himself is the individual Christ, but the church is the corporate Christ. And the corporate Christ is just Christ enlarged, Christ expanded. The church is Christ's expansion, enlargement. Let me tell you, it is altogether right and necessary that we have to say the New Jerusalem is altogether the enlargement of the triune God. The New Jerusalem is the enlargement, the expansion of the triune God. I tell you, religious people would never agree with this, because they don't have the experience.
Ron, the whole city is the Holy of Holies, and God and the Lamb are the temple, and the whole city is called the tabernacle. These three points tell us that God himself is the city. If we know that God is the city, how is it that we have made the point again and again in this life study that this city is something corporate, a composition of God with all his redeemed ones?
I want to say succinctly, in quoting you, if we know that God is the city, this is something we have to know. The New Jerusalem is God. Put the other way around, God is the city, New Jerusalem. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. And the temple, being the Holy of Holies, equals the entire city. Therefore, God is the city. Therefore, this city cannot be heaven, and it cannot be anything physical. Now we want to go on to see and to say that the New Jerusalem is not only God, but a composition of God with all of his redeemed ones. How can we say this? We say it because the Bible reveals this. Back in Revelation 3:2, we're told that the overcoming one in Philadelphia is made a pillar in the temple of God. That temple is the New Jerusalem, which is God. So now you have not only the city being God, but the overcomer being a part of the city. As we have pointed out in previous broadcasts, the names of the 12 apostles mentioned in relation to the foundations, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned in relation to the gates, point to God's redeemed people in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. They are, or put it more personally, we are the components of the city. So the city is not only God, in particular the redeeming God, The city is also God's people, meaning God's redeemed. So now we have a city, which on the one hand is God, the redeeming God, and on the other hand is God's redeemed people. As we consider these two statements in the light of what is revealed in this last book of the Scriptures, we must conclude that the New Jerusalem is a corporate entity, a corporate person composed both of the redeeming God and of the totality of God's redeemed people. This New Jerusalem is a composition, a corporate entity, including the triune God and the redeemed, regenerated, transformed, glorified, and built up tripartite people of God. This is what the New Jerusalem is, and this is the thought, the revelation of the Scriptures that needs to penetrate us and renew our understanding. So we drop this religious notion of mansions in heaven and embrace the divine revelation of the New Jerusalem as a corporate person.
Well, Ron, as we said, this is not a thought that man would come to, I think, on his own. This is something higher, and it is God's word that reveals it. Let's go back to Witness Lee for another portion.
No human concept could get in such a kind of a thought. Oh, the whole New Jerusalem will be God as our habitation. Strictly speaking, the tabernacle and the temple were not mainly for people to dwell in. Not mainly for people to dwell in, but for God himself. You please tell me, eventually the New Jerusalem will be the New Jerusalem, the habitation of God or the habitation of man? It will be a mutual habitation. And the mutual habitation means what? Means, firstly, God will be our dwelling place, and we will be His dwelling place. You do have a miniature revealed in that simple word by the Lord Jesus in John 15, which says, "Abide in me, and I in you." To abide in the Lord means what? Means to take Him as your dwelling. Eventually, who is in who? It's hard for us to understand, but we do have the experience. No need for you and me to go into the New Jerusalem even today. You check your experience. I can testify strongly many, many times I was really in the Lord. And at the same time, He was really abiding in me. Didn't you have this kind of experience? Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's hard to explain, but it's a fact. We all can testify whenever we abide in Him. Right away, we have the sensation that He abides in us. You see, if you would say, "Lord Jesus, how I thank you, now I am abiding in you." Right way, you have the deep sensation that He is in you. He is abiding in you. What is this? I tell you, this is a miniature of the coming New Jerusalem. That New Jerusalem will be just a mutual abiding place. Why? Because it is both us and God in the Lamb. On the one hand, it is us. The New Jerusalem will be us. And it's also God Himself in the Lamb. Today, the church is the same thing. We all have to say the church is Christ on one hand. On the other hand, the church is just us. Who are the church? We are the church. And then who is the church? Christ is the church. This is inexhaustible. The more you get into it, these two chapters, especially chapter 21, it's too profound. It's too deep. The new city will be our dwelling place. And the new city will be God's dwelling place. Because, like the temple, firstly, it is God's dwelling place. And secondly, it is the place where the priests stay and serve God. Then this new city will be just God Himself. In Him, in God Himself, we will stay and serve Him. We will dwell in God to serve God. The very God whom we serve will be what? Will be our temple in which we serve Him. Isn't this wonderful?
Well, Ron, the New Jerusalem, as we just saw from the type in the Old Testament, the temple, is primarily a dwelling place for God, eternally. But we also have to realize that we find our eternal abode in this city. Let's talk for a moment about this miniature that we see in John 15.
The New Jerusalem is a mutual dwelling place. On the one hand, we, the redeemed people of God, are the tabernacle, and God dwells in us. On the other hand, the redeeming God is the temple, and we dwell in Him. So the New Jerusalem is God dwelling in us, and we, the redeemed, dwelling in God. That's the ultimate consummation of the Scriptures. Now, in response to your specific question, the miniature in John 15. John 14 reveals the Father's house, in which there are many abodes, not mansions, abodes, dwelling places. We all have a place there in the triune God, and we dwell in our abode. Now in John 15:4, the verbal form of abode is used significantly. Abide in me, and I in you. For us to abide in Christ, the embodiment of the triune God, is for us to take Christ as our home, as our abode, as our dwelling place. When we, in our experience, apply Him and dwell in Him as our abode, then in our experience, in spirit, we will have the sense that He is dwelling in us, that He is taking us as His abode. So John 15:4, abide, make your home in me, and I in you. This is a mutual abiding, a mutual dwelling. When we go from John 15 to Revelation 21, we have the full development and ultimate consummation of this. We abide in God, the redeeming God who is the temple, and God abides in us, His redeemed people, who are the tabernacle. This is the significance of the New Jerusalem. A little P.S. How self-centered is the traditional interpretation of John 14, all about our having a so-called mansion in heaven, a so-called palace, even villa, for our enjoyment? What about God's heart's desire to have a dwelling place? The tabernacle, the temple, the church, the house of God, these are primarily a dwelling place for God. God is the one who told Moses, "Let them make me a dwelling place." If we love the Lord, if we love His Word, if we can be delivered from the leaven of heaven, which brings in misunderstanding, we will begin to see the Bible as the Word of God is all about God, God's purpose, God's economy, God's intention, God's desire to have an abode, and God's abode is with His chosen and redeemed people. This is why the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church." He didn't say, "I will build your mansion." I will build my church. And this church today is the mutual abode for the triune God and God's redeemed and regenerated people. The church, the reality of which is the body of Christ, eventually becomes the New Jerusalem as the mutual abode of God and man. This is the goal of the Bible, the consummation of the Scriptures. This is what God wants. Is it what God's people want? This is a serious question. Oh, that we would want what God wants. The traditional religious and erroneous interpretation of John 14 as heaven with many mansions for the believers is humanistic, it's materialistic, it's self-serving, it's self-centered. It's about the human desire to have a paradise and to have a dream house in paradise where we have all of our enjoyments. There's little room for God, little room for the heart's desire of God, the central thought of God. Where are the people today, and I mean the people of God, who want what God wants? Who will even open to the possibility that the traditional interpretation is self-serving, religious, and false, and that we need to come back to the pure word again, especially tracing the line of God's building in the Bible, to see what God's intention is, and then seeing it to give ourselves to its fulfillment. This is what God, I would say, needs today in his commitment to work through his redeemed people according to the principle of incarnation. He is looking for those who will seek first this kingdom, this eternal intention of God, and give their lives in a practical way to its fulfillment. This is the burden deep in our being as we carry out this radio ministry in the life study of the Scriptures.
Ron, we were originally going to have six programs on this topic, the New Jerusalem. We have decided to add a seventh.
And I encourage the listeners, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to tune in tomorrow to hear Brother Lee and to hear Ed's fellowship in response to your questions and Brother Lee's speaking on the New Jerusalem. God is burdened about this today, and he's speaking about it in his ministry today. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
Well, thank you again, Brother Ron, and we'll have you back at least once more before we wrap up Revelation.
I look forward to that.
And we do too. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.